Today, we kick off a new church year. Got a full slate of activities and programs coming up this fall, different ways to engage folks in life of our community. We, of course, are not the only ones entering into a new season. Our friends at school are doing so too. And perhaps you remember this from your childhood days in the past, or it is fresh with you because you're fully engaged with the moment now, but a new school year usually involves some preparation. You have to get some new pencils and new erasers and notebooks, and now maybe you've got to go find a tablet or an iPad. Maybe there's an upgrade to a new backpack or book bag. Maybe there's some new clothes on the horizon or a new pair of shoes or sneakers. And maybe it's time for a haircut. You're going to start off that new year at school. You want to look good. You want to impress your friends. And it's a nice way to say to your teacher that I take the business of learning seriously. I want to look good. And of course, there are other times when we get a haircut so we can impress. Maybe it's going on a first date. Maybe it's a job interview. Maybe it's your first day on that new job that you just got. But off we go to the barber or the hairstylist to have our hair cut. Now, I want you to hold this nice, positive, optimistic image of haircuts in mind as we enter into our parable. But before we tackle our text, I want you to think about another kind of haircut, if you will. And this haircut has less pleasant connotations. It's a haircut from the world of finance. Some of you may be familiar with this. The bondholder is informed that the entity to which it has lent money is incapable of paying back in full. So the lender is asked to take a haircut. Now, haircuts usually seem to involve very large amounts of money. You think of Fortune 500 companies going under, or even a couple of years ago when Greece was in the midst of financial turmoil. Creditors were asked to take a haircut. It was time to do it. Face facts. But lenders usually don't want to take a haircut. They don't think it's time for that. And why not? People lend money with the expectation that they're actually going to make a profit. To be told that they're not only not going to make a profit, but they're going to take a loss usually doesn't sit well. And so there's a desire sometimes to wait, to think maybe the situation will right itself and we'll be able to collect the full amount that is owed. But the response to that often is, settle up now. 75 cents on a dollar is always better than 0 cents on a dollar. And holding out doesn't always work out. So now you've got another type of haircut to hold in mind as we think about today's passage from Luke. Going off to the barber or hairstylist and having an unwanted meeting with your financial people. Now I got to tell you that my inclination is to delay jumping into this passage as long as is humanly possible for a preacher. And I tell you this because this is one tough passage. If you were listening carefully, and I know you all listen very attentively, you may have thought there's something odd going on here. The behavior's a little weird. It almost seems like this crook is being lifted up for our approbation, that we should compliment him for what he has done. Think about what has happened. We don't know whether the man has mismanaged or stolen from his boss, but clearly he has made a hash of things, and word has gotten back to his employer. Now, I'll give him credit for some self-awareness. He knows what he can't do or doesn't want to do, so he tries to find a new way forward. Unfortunately, it doesn't involve talking to his boss and trying to come up with a plan to fix the problem. No! Instead, he starts getting really clever. He starts engaging in what we might think of as financial engineering. And he does this in a culture where so many relationships were based on the patron and client dynamic. I give you something, and you owe me something in return. And so this manager or steward who knows he's about to be unemployed and out on the street wants to get some people in his debt, and he does that with somebody else's money. So already we should be saying, what on earth is going on here? Why is Luke lifting up this story? Why is Jesus telling us this? But then it gets really surreal. Because the rich man finds out what happens, and he compliments the steward for being so clever. This is like the prosecutor giving Bernie Madoff a pat on the back and saying, good work. That was really, really shrewd. This passage has been bedeviling scholars and commentators and people who read scripture for centuries. And coming up with a good interpretation is hard. Now, there have been some who've actually wondered whether Jesus may have been having an off day when he shared this parable. Now, to show you I have some level of self-awareness, I know I do not bat 1,000 up here. I know there are days that maybe the sermon just doesn't work out. But I don't compare myself to Jesus. I am convinced that every single time Jesus went to teach and preach, he hit the ball out of the park. And furthermore, Luke got to choose what he included in his gospel. So he must have thought that this parable was something we needed to hear. So we should take the fact that it is dense and challenging and complicated as an alert that we need to pay attention. There's something that we have to hear from this lesson. Now, Luke had some priorities as he shared his gospel. He wanted to tell a story about Jesus and the kingdom of God and what it all meant and what was going to happen in God's new creation. And one of the themes that recurs is that money can be problematic. Money can lead us astray. Money can tempt us into doing stupid, harmful things. And if you want to see the place where Luke lays down his marker, you go back to the beginning of his gospel and read the Magnificat. And Mary talks about the lowly and the poor being exalted and the powerful and the rich being laid low. So we know Luke thinks about this. And we know from Luke and the other Gospels that Jesus spends a lot of time talking about money. If you need just one takeaway from today's sermon, Jesus never, ever, ever talks about gay marriage. He never talks about the inerrancy of Scripture. Does that because he knows what makes people tick. And we don't just have to be thinking about cold hard cash. We can be thinking about our stuff and our priorities and the places where we invest our energy and our attention and our love, our gifts. Think about what this manager, the steward, has done. I wonder, where was his creativity when he was supposed to be doing his job? Clearly, he's got some acumen, some talents out there. But he didn't use them when he should have. Now, you'll recall from this morning's lesson that the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For, Jesus says, the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And here is the key that helps unlock this safe. We here are supposedly the children of light. And it's people like this manager who are the children of the age. And Jesus can see how the people who are following the ways of the world are coming up with all sorts of really clever and interesting and intellectually complex ways of pursuing their wants and their desires. And then he looks at the people who say they're following God, and he doesn't see the same kind of investment or creativity, the same kind of all-consuming dedication. If only the people who are committed to doing good were as all in as the people who are committed to doing wrong. Think about that. Think about what our world would look like. Jesus doesn't want us to just show up at church on Sunday morning and volunteer at a committee and then go off and do whatever it is we want to do. We don't have a point system here. I don't get to steal and then work it off by praying extra hard. We don't do things that way in the kingdom of God. I don't get to slander or gossip and then sing the psalm with extra gusto. I don't get to throw my elbows trying to do the right thing and then ask for forgiveness. Jesus wants us to be all in on the kingdom. And one of the misconceptions that Christians often have is that the kingdom is something that is going to happen in the future. Those first Christians thought that Jesus was coming back immediately. He didn't. God's sense of time is different than our sense of time. But that doesn't mean that the kingdom that Jesus was preaching about had not already begun to unfold and emerge. That was Paul's great insight, and it was an insight with which Luke would have been familiar. The kingdom of God is here, just as the kingdom of Mammon is here. We have to choose who gets our allegiance. We have to choose where we want to be citizens. One of the reasons reading scripture in translation can be dangerous is that we can lose the actual meaning of what is being said. So if you were to look at your Bibles and you saw verse 9, you'd hear Jesus saying, "And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes." Well, that's rather perplexing. Is Jesus telling us to go out and commit fraud and cheat and steal? Well, when we read the text in the Greek, we hear Jesus talking about eternal tents. Tents can't be eternal. They blow over, they fall down. Jesus is being sarcastic here. Don't bank on this. this world values, Jesus says. Go all in on what God has been sharing and has been lifting up and has been inviting us to be a part of. And it is a binary choice. God, mammon. We get to choose. It's that simple. So, it is time for a haircut. Both kinds. We may need to give up some things to move forward. Maybe we need to give up a grudge. Maybe we need to look at where we're spending our money. Maybe we need to ask what is in the best interest of everybody rather than myself. But to leave you on a positive note, the other reason it's time for a haircut is because God is coming to meet us right now, right here in this place. And don't we want to look good for God? God surely takes us seriously. We can do the same for God. So, time for a haircut as we start our new year.